good to be back here. I told some of you it's still takes me a little while to get used to this place. Everything is so nice and new and beautiful. I love it here. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get this thing to work, but I'll give it a shot. I have had the privilege, we can call it a privilege, of knowing Josh since college, and was here when the well got started. So it's good to be back with you guys today. I want to share a message with you today from the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and find the book of James. What I want to talk about today is the most common and often the most difficult problem in relationships, and that is poor communication. You know, whether you're talking about marriages or your business or even team sports, communication is often tagged as the main culprit, the main problem area in these relationships. I was looking through the internet this week to find some funny examples of poor communication, and they happen even in the courtroom. I found this from the Massachusetts Bar Association, some questions that were actually asked of witnesses during a trial. Here's one for you. Now, on the night of the crime, were you alone or by yourself? Here's another one. Was it your younger brother or you that was killed in the war? Uh-huh. You were at that place until the time you left. Is that true? The prosecutor asks, can you describe the individual? Well, he was about medium height and had a full beard. So was it a male or a female? Prosecutor asks the doctor, doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? Well, all of my autopsies have been on dead people. You know, communication is one of the most rewarding and one of the most risky aspects of our relationships. Every time you open your mouth, you have the opportunity to be understood, to communicate well, and you have the opportunity to be misinterpreted. In the counseling I do as a pastor, a huge majority of what I see comes down to communication issues. Parents and teens who don't know how to talk to each other anymore, husbands and wives who maybe have just given up on talking altogether. Listen, communication is a key difference maker in the quality of our relationships. It's not surprising that such a critical aspect of our lives would be clearly addressed in the Bible. And it's not surprising that James in particular would give us some straightforward advice about this. So look at James chapter 1, verse 19. Here's some preventative medicine for communication. James 1:19 says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. First of all, James says, take note of this. He's saying, check this out. Listen up. This is important. The most important skill you have is to communicate effectively. Lack of communication or faulty communication is the chief cause in a lot of marriages that break up. It's the chief cause in a lot of miscommunication in families, and it can even be the chief cause in jail cells being filled. You know, if you can't communicate well, there's a good chance you're going to feel lonely and depressed because it's hard to make friends if you can't communicate well. Let's look closely at this morning and see what the Bible has to say. Number one, James tells us to be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Listen when someone is talking to you. Simple as it gets, right? But do we do this? How can you be an active listener? What does active listening look like? Dale Carnegie said that you can make more friends in 2 weeks by being a good listener than you can make in 2 years of trying to impress people. And don't we all know this? I mean, don't you just instinctively know when someone is really listening to you versus just nodding their head? We all know that, and that brings me to point A. Be fully present and eliminate distractions. Being fully present with anyone these days is very, very difficult because there's so many distractions, right? Our lives are busy all the time. You've heard it over and over again. Our lives are so busy, and certainly cell phones, laptops, televisions, they all play into these distractions that keep us from connecting with each other over and over again. You know, I see this most often with my daughter, Zoe. Zoe's 10 now, and I love Zoe. She's such a great girl. She does well in school. She's uses her manners. She's always helpful around the house. I love Zoe. But one thing about Zoe drives me nuts. Whenever I try to talk to Zoe, she almost never looks me in the eye because she's almost always looking at a screen. She's almost always looking at the TV or a Kindle or a book or something, and I miss out on that eye contact, and I don't feel like she's fully present with me. You know, the truth is you can't be fully present with anybody if your eyes are glued to a screen. It happens to all of us more and more these days. Sometimes we're like a couple that was out with some friends, and the topic of marriage counseling came up. The one wife spoke up and said, "Oh, Tom and I will never need marriage counseling. We'll do just fine. You see, in college, he majored in communications, and I majored in drama. So he communicates very well, and I just act like I'm listening." James says everyone should be quick to listen. Not just quick to hear, but quick to listen, because there's a difference between listening and hearing. You see, listening involves more than just hearing the syllables and words. It involves seeking to know the heart of the other person. Listening with the intention to know the heart of the other person. This is hard to do, especially in a conflict, especially when you're angry with someone, right? When you get in an argument, if you want to be the kind of person who is truly listening, then you cannot simultaneously be the kind of person who is just thinking about what to fire back at them next. You can't be those two people at the same time. And doesn't that happen over and over again in conflicts? We are just prepping our next statement for the person we're arguing, disagreeing with. We're telling that person that what we have to say is so much more important than what they have to say. James tells us to reverse this process. Remember, the Bible itself tells us to be good listeners, right? This isn't just a seminar on communication today. James instructs us to do this. He wants this to happen in the body of Christ. And think about where James was coming from. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. James grew up with Jesus, but he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah till much later in life. You see, James grew up not listening to what his brother had to say. He grew up not listening to what his parents were saying about his brother. So listen up today and don't be like James. When we fail to listen, all kinds of problems occur. We misinterpret, we jump to conclusions, we disrespect others. So how can you do it? How can you be a person who is quick to listen? Well, we talked about one method. Be fully present. Eliminate those distractions. Here's another one. Another method to improve communication is to be a mirror. Reflect back to the person what they are saying to you. Gary Smalley calls this drive-through listening. You pull up to the drive-through window, and you say, you know, I want the triple whopper with cheese and the extra large fries and a small diet soda, because I'm watching what I eat. And they say it back to you, right? Okay, that's triple whopper, heart attack, here it comes. Just practice this with people that you communicate with every day, especially people that are important to you. Repeat their message back and check for clear understanding. Just repeat it back to them. So what I hear you say is, I'm out of here. What do you mean by I'm out of here? What I hear you say is, I don't like you anymore. Well, what do you mean by I don't like you anymore? What I hear you say is that Mama Bear's claws are about to come out. Okay, I know what that one means now. Quick illustration. There's a man named Eric Weyenmayer who reached the summit of Mount Everest on May 25th, 2001. Now, as you know, Mount Everest is the tallest peak in the world, and 90% of the people who try to climb this peak don't make it. Now, that's not 90% of you and I. That's 90% of the people who try, people who've trained their whole lives, who are mountain climbers, people who paid tens of thousands of dollars to try to get up this mountain. Still, 90% of them fail. Before 2001, 165 people had died on Mount Everest trying to reach the summit, and many more have died since. The fact that any human makes it to the highest place on earth is amazing, and what makes Eric Weyenmayer's climb even more incredible is that he has been blind since he was 13 years old. How did he do it? He did it because he listened well. He listened for a bell tied to the back of the climber in front of him. He listened for instructions from teammates that would shout directions to him. He listened for the way his pickaxe sounded when he chopped it into the ice to know whether that ice was safe or not. And he made it to the summit of Mount Everest because he listened well. Folks, you and I will never reach the mountaintops of our relationships. We'll never get to the peak of what our relationships could be if we don't learn to be good listeners as well. You know, there's a husband or a wife here today that needs to hear this. You could dramatically improve your marriage if you just be a good listener. If you just sit down and practice real listening with your spouse. And there's a parent of teenagers or of young kids that you could just bring a whole new level of trust to your relationship as a family if you were quicker to listen. If you listen first, if you were slower to attack, slower to speak, slower to shut each other out, slower to come back with those retorts. Most people I have counseled as a pastor, this is the biggest issue. It's communication over and over again. It's just a simple thing that very, very few people get right. There are church members here today that need to know this too. Some of you are in conflict with each other, and if you just sit down and really listen and be slower to speak and quicker to listen, you could strengthen this church right here. So let's all be quick to listen. And then let's look at James again, James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Everyone should be slow to speak. See, this is the flip side of being quick to listen. These two bits of advice go hand in hand. They're like puzzle pieces that are meant to fit together. You cannot talk and listen at the same time. It's like trying to keep your eyes open and sneeze at the same time. It's just not going to happen. This is advice is all over in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13 tells us this. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life, but the one who opens wide his lip comes to ruins. Check your notes here if you got them. When we are too quick to speak, number one, we let the wrong things come out of our mouth. We let the wrong things out of our mouths. Ask this simple question before you speak. Would I be embarrassed if God heard me say this? Because guess what? He does, right? He hears all of it. He hears all of it. So think of the way the old King James Bible puts it. The old King James says, thinketh before thou speakest. Not really, I made that up, but I thought it was okay. What I really want you to get is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Ephesians 5, 4 says this, there must be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. No filthiness, no foolish talk. That Greek word for foolish talk, that's a compound word. It's a combination of the word moros and legos. Legos means to speak or to lay things forth in words. And moros is where we get the English word for moron. So what it's saying is make sure that you don't lay out your words in a way that makes you sound like a moron. Am I going to sound like a moron if I say this? That's a good question to ask yourself. And then it says coarse jesting. Coarse jesting can be like vulgar or adult humor. I won't give you any examples here, but no, that's different from coarse gesturing, which I'm pretty sure God's not big on either. When you are too quick to speak, number one, you let the wrong things out of your mouth. And when you are too quick to speak, number two, we forget God's purpose for our speech. We forget God's purpose. Listen, we overlook the opportunities we have to say what God wants us to say. We overlook the opportunities we have to let our words be a blessing. Ephesians 4:29 says this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's what we just covered. But listen up. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that it may benefit those who listen. Slow down. Consider what you're about to say. Don't let the wrong things out of your mouth, but then go a step further and ask yourself this question, will this benefit the person I'm talking to you to? If what you want to say won't contribute to God's kingdom, if what you want to say doesn't contribute to the life or the health of the other person, then just don't say it. If you're speaking to intentionally hurt someone, then just don't talk, okay? We all know this, right? Help me finish this old saying. Help me, you guys, I want you to speak up. Finish this old saying for me. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't. Right? We've all heard that since we were little kids. Did you know it was biblical? That's biblical advice right there. Don't let your tongue out of its cage unless it's beneficial to others. Imagine when you're in a conflict. You've got some quick emotional responses going on, and imaginarily, literally taking time in the middle of a disagreement to stop and pray. Can you imagine? You're right in the middle of this argument, and you stop and pray and ask God to help you have the right thing to say. If you can do this, if you could pull this off with God's help, look at what happens. Number one, you would be inviting God into that discussion. Can't think of much better to do than that, right? And number two, stopping and praying would force you to slow your words down, which is exactly what James is advising us to do. There's a however, though. Letter B. However, James does not tell us to be silent. He says, be slow to speak, not to stop speaking altogether. Sorry, fellas, no strong silent types allowed. We need to speak or there's no communication at all, right? We're called to speak. We're called to speak the truth in love. We're called to speak our testimonies of God's goodness to each other. We're called to speak the good news to all the world, right? Proverbs 12 tells us, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Did you catch that? The words of a wise man, the words of a wise person can actually bring healing. Wouldn't it be great if you could bring healing to your relationships? Our first response is normally just to say what we want. Stuff just kind of spills out. We say things before we even think about them. And, you know, I've done this myself many, many times, but I got a good one for you right here. I was at college at Huntington University, and I came home my sophomore year, I think it was for Thanksgiving break. And we had a party, and one of my ex-girlfriends from high school was there, and she was a nice girl, and you know, we had a good breakup, and we were still friends, and I knew that she was real serious with this guy, and kind of heard some rumors going around about her, and she said, hey, Kevin, I really want to talk to you. I got something really important to tell you. Can I get a couple minutes alone with you? I got something I want to tell you. I'm like, okay, sure, sure. And, you know, talking to her a little bit, and what I notice is that when she wants to talk to me, her belly's sticking out a little bit, and she's kind of rubbing her belly like this, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Her and this guy are not only getting married, they're going to have a baby. And so I said, Danielle, congratulations. I'm so excited. When are you due? When are you guys going to have a baby? Yeah, Danielle wasn't pregnant. Danielle wasn't pregnant. How often have I embarrassed myself? You embarrassed yourself because instead of listening to James, you do just the opposite. See, all too often, we're slow to listen and we're quick to speak. There's an old saying that says this, God gave us two ears and one mouth that we might listen twice as much as we speak. There are plenty of times that God wants us to speak up, right? He wants us to use our words to bring healing. He wants to use our words to help others. And James is just reminding us to think about it, to be slow, thoughtful, and purposeful in what you say. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Now check this out. All of James' good advice for communication with one another also applies just as well to our relationship with God. And that's point three today. Shh, listen. Communication with God. James' first point, be quick to listen, applies directly to our relationship with God too. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we better be ready to listen to him, right? We better be ready to listen to what he has to say. The first way we do this, the first way we listen to God is through his word. If you want to know what God is saying, go straight to the source. Go straight to Scripture. God's word has something to say to you. You just need to listen. You just need to be there with an open heart and an open mind. Be quick to listen to God and be quick to listen to him through the Holy Spirit. It's the second one, through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through that still, small voice. The voice of the Spirit that you can only hear when you're still. When you're quiet, when you're fully present, when shh, you listen for him. you eliminate those distractions, and you're fully present just with him. We need to have space where we talk to him in prayer, and you need to have time and space where you're just still, just to listen. You shut out the world and you listen to what the God of the universe has to say. Finally, sometimes we need to listen to God through his people. This is often the most tricky one, right? Each one of us has brothers and sisters in Christ who will not only listen to our troubles, but who will speak the truth to us. We need to have brothers and sisters who will tell us the truth, whether we want to hear it or not. Sometimes it's pretty hard to hear, but there are times when we need to just humbly listen to what the body is telling us. Faithful people can be the voice of God in your life. You know, if you've known me for very long, I've had to hear some pretty difficult things from brothers and sisters right here in this church. If we can't listen to people, even when they're face to face with us, how do we expect to be able to listen to a God that we can't see? Dietrich Bonhoeffer even said that. He said, "He who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer be listening to God." My last point today, James said, be slow to speak, right? Well, what if we were slow to speak to God as well as slow to speak to others? Ask yourself honestly, are you too quick to speak to your Lord? Are you too quick to voice your complaints to the Almighty? Are you too quick to tell the King of Kings what you think he ought to be doing next? I'm not suggesting you stop speaking to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants your prayers, but rather that you measure what you say, that you speak to him with due respect. You remember who it is you're praying to. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us this. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Remember where that prayer goes. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Think about what you say to your king. Consider the way you address him. Consider the respect you give him. For we are on earth and he is in heaven. If you and I accept James' simple wisdom for communication, it will change our relationships. It'll change your relationships at home, at work, and even at church, even with God himself. If we submit our listening and our speaking, if we submit our ears and our mouths, then God is going to help our relationships. He's going to help our families. He's going to help this church take the next step forward. It's simple, straightforward advice. We just have to do it. Will you do it? Will you be quick to listen and slow to speak? Would you pray with me, please? Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this church, the great energy that is here and that is full of people who want to listen to you. Lord, make us the kind of people who are ready to listen, quick to listen. Make us the kind of people who are slow to speak. Lord, help us to speak up and communicate your truth and your love to the world around us. And help us to find times where we're just quiet, where we shh, and we listen to you. Help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, for your glory, your kingdom, your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.